16-01. Motion carries. Doug.
Motion number three. One relates to our accountability measures that we're suggesting to consider alternatives for adjusting accountability measures that include closing the herring fishery A when 95% of a management area sub-ACL is projected to be taken, and B when 100% of a management area sub-ACL is projected to be taken.
Committee motion, no second is necessary. I'm going to go to the audience for comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Roger Fleminger, Justice, is where we represented the plaintiffs in the Amendment 4 suit. And reflecting back in your discussion about a reasonable range of alternatives, this does not seem like a reasonable range of alternatives from our perspective. I mean, basically, I believe that you have status quo and to actually allow more fish to be caught before this closure takes place. A reasonable range of alternatives is, would be broader. Probably include closing the fishery when fewer fish are taken. As we know, there have been a number of overages in the management areas, and so it would be reasonable to consider one or two alternatives that went in the other direction. Thank you.
Clarification on these accountability measure alternatives. These relate to the existing accountability. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. These actually propose, these would be new accountability measures or possibly modifications, but it says here closing the herring fishery. This doesn't refer to closing the directed herring fishery and reducing everybody to 2,000 pounds. The current accountability measure does that when 95% is projected to be taken. These two alternatives would be zero possession at 95%, and then the second alternative would be 100%. So just to clarify, it's not this isn't a matter of closing the directed herring fishery. This is about prohibiting the possession of herring by all vessels.
Anyone else? Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Kalin, we do support this motion, too. I just wanted to say that, you know, we've gone to daily reporting in this fishery, and as dealers, we'd go to daily dealer reporting, too. I think one of the biggest discrepancies, some of the dealer reports are late. Maybe we need to go to daily dealer reporting. We've gone to daily catch reporting. So I think as a fishery, we've done everything we can do, and I think the zero possession approach is a little more conservative and probably appropriate. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. David Pierce.
Yeah, in light of what Lori said, a clarification I think is needed. Does this mean, Lori, that either or both these particular alternatives would mean that the whiting fishery that might catch a relatively small amount of sea herring as a bycatch would be shut down if the directed fishery for herring took or was projected to take 95% or 100%. We need to know what the implications of this would be. I think it means we would lose the whiting fishery. And other fisheries that might take sea herring as a bycatch would mean just about every dragger fishery that's occurring in the area that would take sea herring is a bycatch, and I can say that with some knowledge, since in Massachusetts we have a provision for 2,000 pounds as an allowable catch when a closure occurs, because we recognize that there is a whiting fishery, and there are other fisheries, ground fisheries, that will take whiting because they are there. So this has consequences that we all need to understand if we indeed adopt this.
What this would mean is that when under option A, for example, when 95% or under option B, when 100% is projected to be taken, possession would be prohibited. The whiting fishery could operate and discard herring. Right now, when 95% is projected to be taken, vessels in the whiting fishery are limited to 2,000 pounds. So under this option, the vessels would not be allowed to keep those 2,000 pounds when they fish for whiting. They would have to discard them. And I was going to say something else, and I forgot.
Dave Gatham.
Yeah, I don't really see how this motion jives with the idea of minimizing discards to the extent practicable. The whiting fishery, the shrimp fishery, the groundfish fishery, just about every fishery in the North Atlantic catches herring. Not very many, not, you know, large quantities. That's why the 2,000 pounds exists. But it catches herring. So we're going to go to a dedicated discard fishery once 95% is reached, or once 100% is reached. And to me, I can't see that. That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I don't think the 2,000-pound bycatch has ever driven this fishery over in terms of numbers. You know, what's driven this fishery over in the past is late reporting by the directed fishery. And, I think probably the whiting fishery, the shrimp fishery, and the groundfish fishery probably operate all year long on 5% of the total herring fishery from 1A, probably less than that. I think we have figures on it. But, I can't support this motion the way it's currently written.
Terry Stockwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The important point to notice in this motion is it doesn't say preferred alternative. The committee was asked, requested to provide additional AM measures to address the court order. This is one. You know, we often put two, three, four in. This is one extreme. We have a 95% measure that's currently in place, and I believe after we vote this motion either up or down, we'll have another one to consider.
Dave Preble.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Terry for that, for the point he just said. I've been sitting here confused by this motion, what it's intended to do, and that makes sense. So with that in mind, I will support it. Normally, I would not. I agree with Dave Gaither. I normally would never support this kind of motion.
Doug Grout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As chair of the committee, I didn't vote on this, but I had some concerns about this, particularly the 100% measure. I also had some concerns that we're turning landings into discards, and so it's not going to do anything to really prevent exceeding the quota, because we take into consideration in a sub-ACL both landings and discards. So it's still going to be in there. I think we should vote on this one way or the other. I hope other people will see the weaknesses in this, but if we decide to keep it in, it is, Terry said, it is an option. And after we dispense with this motion, have another motion that I am going to make, not on behalf of the committee, that may provide a wider range of alternatives to consider.
Further discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just don't understand how this is going to reduce the overages that this fishery consistently seems to take. Having 100% shutdown level seems to be going in the wrong direction. Thank you.
Anyone else? Call the question. All those in favor, so indicate. Can you hold them up again, please? One. Eight in favor. Opposed. Nine opposed. Abstention? Okay. Eight in favor, nine opposed. Motion does not carry. Doug.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Over the weekend, I started thinking about, some potential wider range of alternatives here. The thing that I started thinking about is whether we should try and have different or modifications to our current
accountability measures based on the status of the stock. And so with that in mind, I came up with this particular motion. If you can bring that up, Karen, to consider including in the following alternatives for adjusting the accountability measures in the specifications package. Number one, the proactive accountability measure to close the directed fishery in a given management area when landings are projected to reach 95% of a sub-ACL will be adjusted to 92% under the following conditions. A, the stock is overfished or overfishing is occurring, and the sub-ACL for the management area has been exceeded in either of the preceding 2 years. Number two, if overfishing is not occurring and the stock is rebuilt, i.e. the SSB exceeds the target, the consequential AM of a pound-for-pound payback for exceeding a given sub-ACL will not be invoked until the sub-ACL by 5% or more. Get a second to that. I'd like to give my rationalization for it.
Seconded by Terry Stockwell.
As I was looking at this, thinking about it, I felt that when we're in a situation where we are overfished or overfishing, we need to be more conservative than what we currently have. And so that's what I'm providing as an alternative to reduce, to close it in early. But also, if there is a problem, if we are in the previous 2 years exceeding the sub-ACL, if we haven't been in the previous 2 years, I don't think we need to do that to reduce it. And the reason for that is that I firmly believe that with Amendment 5 and the daily reporting that was implemented last year, the probability, I realize we've had some overages in the previous 2 years, but I think that problem is going to go away because we're going to have much better reporting at that point. But if it doesn't, then we do have, and we do have an overfished or overfishing situation, and we have had an overage, then we need to be more conservative. We clearly have to be accountable for going over. And then as far as the other half of the motion, this came, I was struck by this because I felt when we have a stock in such good shape as we have right now, where we're well above the rebuilding target, that we really shouldn't be spending a lot of time and effort worrying about payback of a small overages, because it's really not impacting the biology of the stock, the status of the stock, when we're at double the SSB level. Now, what this leaves is these are only going to be triggered by certain status of the stocks. If it's anything in between, for example, if we are below the target but we're not overfished, we're still going to be at the same accountability measures that we currently have in place. So I think this motion tries to get at a wider range of accountability measures that is being asked for here. And I'd like to have this included for analysis in the specifications.
Okay, I'm going to go to the audience for comment on this motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason we get an overage is when we call in to see what we got on board every morning, that goes right directly to National Marine Fisheries. But then when we come to the beach, we sell our fish, they have to get a report back from the dealers to confirm the poundage that we're after landing. I think the part where the dealer has to come back to National Marine Fisheries should be taken away, so that you can act on the day In other words, if we're up to 95% or getting to 95% of the quota and all the boats catch together, they call in. You got that daily report is going to enact the close down of the fishery like. Whereas if you have to wait 3 more days, we're going to get up back out and we're going to get another trip and then we're over the quota. So it needs to be faster from the boat to National Marine Fisheries to close the fishery.
I'm having trouble understanding. Are you supporting what this motion says or not?
I'm kind of speaking to the reason that we're going over the quota in all the different areas is because it's not happening fast enough. We're doing our part, but when it goes to National Marine Fisheries, it seems to fall between the cracks. And it's the calling is the one that should close the fishery, because if you don't, otherwise you're going to wait 3 more days before you close it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Back to the council. Mary Beth.
I support the motion. I do have just a question. It's come up a couple times. If we were to require daily reporting for dealers, what kind of action would we need for that? The agency was able to implement daily reporting for vessels because it improved catch monitoring, and we didn't need to take action. Just curious if we ever considered that for dealers.
Yeah, I think we'd have to look at it. It's possible we could do it through our own regulatory amendment, but we're not sure right now.
Anyone else? Dave Gatham.
Yeah, I support the motion. I think Doug's laid out the rationale quite clearly and very well. But I do have a question for the service based on what Mr. Mullins said. Are we closing the fishery now based on the dealer report or the catch report forms we're filing on the VMS?
You want to respond to that?
Currently, we have 3 data streams. We have daily VMS, weekly VTR, and weekly dealer data. So projections are made as data come in, whatever data we have at the time, and projections are made off that information, and then we predict closures accordingly.
Okay, because if in fact we could close off the catch reports that we're filing, since the A, B, and C boats have to file them, that's virtually all the fish, that would seem to guarantee that we shouldn't get into this situation. I mean, this fishery is a volume fishery, so 2 or 3 days can produce a lot of fish in a short period of time. So that would just be a suggestion. I think Mr. Mullins has a reasonable way forward here to make sure we don't get into overage situations.
One additional thing, when we know that we're getting close, we often will consult with our port agents, too, to see who's out. We may even call some of the processors to get a sense for what they have out and whether they're finding and so on, trying to make that final call.
That's good. I mean, I think it should be recognized by the council that at the time of Amendment 4, we did not have daily catch reporting. We did not have the VMS catch report. We were working off the VTRs and the dealer reports, which had to be, well, at least the VTRs were almost always a week old minimum. So, I mean, the situation has already changed radically from Amendment 4.
Anyone against? Mark.
I just have a little comment about number 2. It seems to there'd be a little legal problem with that, maybe, because AMs have to be triggered when the ACL is exceeded. But you're saying that that won't happen until the ACL is exceeded by 105%. I think that needs to be reworded slightly so that the AM is triggered when you exceed 100%, but there is no pound-for-pound payback in the AM until you get to 105.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds reasonable to me if it makes it clear to the that was what my intent is. Yes.
I'm not too sure that I mean, I could read it either way, but I agree with the way that you have put it up there could be interpreted with just what you're saying. That there's no.
What I know this is trying to say, because I'm the one that made the motion, is that. the pound-for-pound payback will not occur until we get at least to 105%. At that point, there'll be a full pound-for-pound payback, anything over 100% of the ACL. It's just, we won't be worried about the small stuff here.
Anyone else against? I'm going to call a question. All those in favor? Six in favor, opposed, abstention, 16-0-0. Doug.
I think that's pretty much it, other than to refer the committee to our draft herring oversight committee meeting minutes that suggested a couple of methods for altering, for developing the sub-ACLs. And Lori already outlined them. They are to increase in all areas the proportion. Any additional quota that we have this year will be increased in all areas proportionally, or needs to or needs-based increase in the proportional division between 1A, 1B, and 2, and then also a potential to move quota from Area 3 to Area 2. And I just asked the committee if there's any other suggestions of ways that we would consider developing the sub-ACLs for each management area. And if not, that's the end of my report.
Any other questions for Doug? Okay, we will take a break, return at 3:15, and we are going to push through the remainder of the agenda items. Thank you.